This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Reality is, this is a guy who is worse than a racist. He is actually using racist tropes and racial language for political gain. He's trying to use this as a weapon to divide our nation against itself. And this is somebody who is very similar to George Wallace.
Oh my gosh, Cory Booker, you are not going to be the president of the United States. And every time I say words like that out loud, I think of all the Democrats saying that Trump would not be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, don't put it in the highlight
reel.
Are we tired of this yet? Like, I mean, seriously, have we gotten very exhausted to the conversation of racism as a daily occurrence for people who you politically disagree with? And when you listen to how the word racist is tossed back and forth between different pundits on television, people who are hosting shows on television, and this assertion that Donald Trump is absolutely a racist person, like, that just goes without saying. There's a lot of people in the United States of America going, no, I do not agree with that. And I was going through Twitter and just taking in some of the things that just managed to cross my Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, and I got a message from, this is first one I'm going to play for you is Monique. And I messaged Monique and I was like, I would like you to come on the show and talk to me. And she just DM'd me back and said that she was free this week sometime. So
nice.
I'm curious how y'all would feel about me, because these are not people who you know. They're just people who record themselves making a political statement that they firmly believe in, because they continue to see over and over and over again a misrepresentation of where they stand. So this is Monique, and I am tickled by a few of these things here that I'm going to play for you right now. Monique, let's go.
Is Donald Trump really a racist? No, I can't say that he is. I ain't never heard of him being racist prior to running for president. That's just me, though. I mean, because any two ways you look at it, the man won his presidency without the black vote. What he need it for? What he need us for? Tell me what he need me for. He don't need me. But for some reason, he always get up on that stage talking about how low black unemployment is. He don't need to do that. He just do it. Because he legitimately cares. You never heard Obama get on stage talking about black unemployment. He couldn't, because under his first 2 years with a Democratic Congress, it doubled. Black unemployment under Barack Obama doubled. How many of y'all know that? It doubled. It literally doubled. It went from 8% to 16%. How you get around that and no media say nothing about that? But Donald Trump getting it to the lowest it's ever been recorded. Like I said, he don't need us. He does not need the black vote. The black vote didn't put him in office. The black vote ain't going to take him out of office. But the fact that he gets up there on them stages every chance he get and tells us how we are doing, he ain't got to do that.
Monique there, I mean, literally sitting on her porch, talking into her phone and putting that message out there. And she's gotten a lot of traction on it. How did the folks on the left react to what Monique said there? And what did she just say that isn't true? It's a very interesting perspective mm-hmm. from a black woman identifying that the black vote did not put him into office and he wouldn't need the black vote to stay in office, but he still is talking about how the economy is helping everybody. I think it's a very interesting thing that, you know, is Monique going to get time on CNN to talk about what she thinks about this president? I don't think it fits into the narrative. When I look up on CNN, and at least 50% of the time, it's referring to Trump's racist attacks or Trump's racist tweets. It is a foregone conclusion by folks on CNN that the president is just inherently racist. And when you have people who are using their platforms on Twitter or wherever they might be, who happen to not look exactly like a Donald Trump or a Bernie Sanders or a Joe Biden, and they're speaking in support of him, you just, I mean, I've never seen somebody be put up on CNN who looks different than what CNN would have you believe a Republican voter looks like to challenge the narrative that has been constructed by CNN. But I guarantee you when they get a Republican up there, it's going to look a lot like Jeff Flake or former Governor Kasich. I don't get it. They can't even get the standard Republican correct on CNN. They can't even go to a Republican that is actually welcomed by Republicans, let alone somebody like Monique on Twitter, who's making a very valid point. Okay, here's another one. This is Antoine Tucker talking. And I think it's very interesting because I'm going to play you Antoine and then I'm going to play you Shamika. And they both have extremely similar points. And what they're doing is they are seeing through the political narrative that is being put out there by the Democratic Party. They don't, either one necessarily, I don't believe that either one of these two individuals like champions Trump. But when they are being talked to by the pundits in the mainstream media, they're not buying what is trying to be sold to them. Here's Antoine.
Keep hearing the left media call Trump a racist. You really want to know who the racists are? Every time you hear these people talk about illegal immigration, you hear them speaking Spanish and talking as if there's only Latinos in this country that are illegal immigrants. Well, that's a lie. Because in fact, more people are here illegally in this country on overstay visas than people who've actually crossed that border. The thing is, if they can continue to give you this bull about illegal immigration being about Latinos, instead of it being about people who are here illegally from all over the world, they can continue to create the narrative that somehow this president is racist when he's not. He's just trying to fix the issue. That's totally up because Congress is doing absolutely nothing about it. It's the Democrats that are talking about illegals and speaking Spanish as if somehow they're the only people who are illegal in this country. Illegal immigration became a Spanish issue when the Democrats made it a Spanish issue. The real thing is illegal immigration has to do with every single ethnicity you could think of coming from around the world here illegally.
Antoine makes a really good point. And when you look at what the president has tried to do, shifting to a merit-based immigration policy versus a lottery, I think merit-based doesn't have any sort of demographical quotas. I mean, mm-hmm. when you start looking at who has demographical quotas, it's not the Republican Party that is making an effort to include or exclude people, you know, on an equal, fair level. The Democrat Party will be the one that looks at you as you're fill in the demographic here and say that you qualify or don't qualify because of some sort of demographic that you were born with. And I would think that most people would want to access any sort of opportunity based on merit, not be excluded from any opportunity based on demographic. That's equality. So Shamika's going to talk here too about illegal immigration, and she's seeing through what the Democratic Party is trying to do with identity politics. And I love the way she puts this. It is entertaining for me, but it's entertaining mostly because I think she's touching on something important here.
I don't like the term black and brown. I don't like the fact that people of color is now blacks, Hispanic, Arabs, little green Martians. I don't like that. And I don't like it because I believe it is a strategic effort to pull on the heartstrings of Black Americans to make us feel like the plight of those trying to illegally immigrate into the country is the same as our ancestors. Let me tell you something. Somebody floating over here on an inner tube or 102 men hopping in a pickup truck trying to charge the border is not the same as an African being snatched from his land, being brought to a foreign land, beat and chained and forced to work for free. It is not the same. So yes, I reject the notion that I have to feel sorry for them. I don't. By choice and by force are two different things. And somebody actually had the nerve to take their fat fingers and say to me, before you turn up your nose to them, remember your ancestors. I do remember my ancestors. That's why I reject it. It's not the same. So yes, I turn up my nose. If I could take it off my face, turn it upside down, I'd turn it up even more. Because it's not the same. Call me the Grinch. I guess maybe my heart is just as small, but he a person of color too, according to y'all.
Call me the Grinch,
Shamika. I mean, what she's saying there, she said two words that are really important in that little rant that she had. Strategic effort.
Hmm.
She understands that she's been lumped into some sort of strategic effort to make sure that she is a Black woman supports a political decision, a political motivation, a political maneuver. That makes her a pawn. And she's calling out the fact that suggesting that the plight of slavery on Black America is the same as people who are flooding our southern border, and somehow or another, because they both happen to be cultures that aren't white, that they are the same. I mean, let's be very honest and clear here. The people who are fleeing very oppressed and poverty-stricken countries who are coming to the United States for a better opportunity, you know, I my heart goes out to them. I feel bad for them. I hope that they can come into this country and enjoy the benefits of God-given freedom. Here's how you do it. Follow this list, A, B, C, D, and E. Don't just come into this country. That's a lot different than being made a slave against your will. I mean, it's not the same thing.
One had a choice, one did not.
Exactly. And I could see how, when you listen to Shamika talking about this, it would be a little offensive to say, oh, you think it's just that easy to throw out the term person of color and automatically I'm just going to be like, yep, I'm on that cause. That's intellectually rude to suggest that anybody would be that easily baited into supporting any cause because you somehow or another, that's just like saying to a woman, obviously you're a woman and this is a woman's issue, so clearly you support this. Well, let's talk about details and the fact that inside this female body of mine is my own brain and I can use it to come up with my own opinions about policies based on the priorities that I have in my life. I am a Christian, I am a mother, I am a wife, I am a Midwesterner, and I am not the things that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would say that should be centered upon women's rights, or Elizabeth Warren, or Kamala Harris. Those women don't represent me. Kirsten Gillibrand, are you stinking kidding me? That woman is nuts. I railed on her last week. She's already gotten more attention from me than she's getting from the actual voting public, so I guess I should just move on. Steve, Ken, Ed, Richard, I want to talk to you all when we come back, so hold on the line there. We've got two lines open, 314-241-9797. What do you think about what you're hearing from these three individuals? And these three are individuals that I just found in the last, like, 18 hours of my life. I just came across them, and I enjoyed them. And I think that they're voices that I take so much more seriously than the polished, you know, perfectly placed words that come out of speeches from people who want to sucker you into voting for them for the presidency. Monique, Antoine, Shamika, thanks for being on the show. Monique will probably be on with us this week. I got to put Katie in contact with her. And I'm going to go see if I can retweet some of the stuff they've done so that you can follow them as well, because I think that they're an important voice. So we'll reach out to them. I'll take your phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797 and a Signs of the Apocalypse with Tony Colombo by the end of the show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This Erica Thomas story in Georgia is nutso.
Crazy.
Crazy nutso.
Oh my gosh.
We can talk about that in a little bit here, but I want to get to some phone calls. If you didn't hear about the woman who... She committed the cardinal sin. She was in the express lane with too many items. Makes people crazy. It's like being in the fast lane, driving slow.
Mm-hmm.
Fast lane is not for the speed limit, people. I'm sorry.
Go over.
Please don't pull
limit.
Me over. I only drive the speed limit.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
I do not speed ever. Yeah, sorry, that's not true. 314-241-9797. I want to get to some phone calls here and get your reaction to what we've been talking about so far. I was just playing some people who I found on Twitter who were addressing the accusations of this president being racist. All three of these individuals happen to be black, and all three of them aren't buying what is being sold to them by the far left pundits who keep trying to make it an automatic understanding that the president is racist. And none of them are talking in these clips about being like huge Trump fans. They're just saying, you know, I'm not buying this idea of what's trying to be fed, and I'm not going to be appropriated just because of the color of my skin into something. It's not that simple. Like, these people think for themselves. I want to get to some of these phone calls here. Let's start with Ed. Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you, Ed.
Hey, thanks for what you do. You do a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I was thinking about your discussion earlier about the lack of support from millennials for Trump, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, you know, we fight fire with fire. I mean, they're getting indoctrinated in these universities and liberal ideas and free this and free that and taught what to think instead of how to think. Maybe Trump needs to spend more time on these universities, the ones that at least let him speak there, and try to talk to these kids and explain to them a little bit about economics and explain to them about our history and culture. What do you think about that?
I like the idea a lot, Ed, and I don't know that he'd be very welcome in a lot of these places, for sure, but there's one thing I do know, and I'm excited about this on, I believe I have it scheduled for Thursday at 1:40. Like, everybody put in a little note on your calendar at 1:40. There's a guy named Scott Pressler. He is a millennial, and he is somebody who goes district to district. He's got a huge following on social media. I think he's in his early 20s, and he goes district to district. He's in Florida right now, and he's registering people to vote Republican. I mean, he's registering Republicans all over the country and gaining support for this president. And I think it's a really important thing to bring to the attention of people like you, Ed, when it comes into my circle, these young folks who are actively doing something, because I think that, you know, Scott is the type of guy who's going to actually be able to make a difference. Donald Trump is such a polarizing figure that if you have a guy like Scott who supports Trump, and he's the one who's going around doing stuff, and so many other people like Scott, I think that's where we're going to be able to see some gains. But we have to be willing to support these people when they come into our areas and make sure they know about it.
Oh, I totally agree. We've got to do something to get that percentage up. I mean, I think you need some more support, and I think you're just misguided. And like you said, it's a great idea. And like you said, he's so polarizing. But if there's just some way that he could just do a better job of communicating with young people, I think it'd just be such a good thing.
Yeah, I think so, too. Ed, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. And I am really looking forward to talking to Scott. And he told me when we were chatting last night that he's actually bringing his operation with Trump 2020 to St. Louis in September. So we're going to talk more about that and see what that is all about. But hopefully I'm going to be able to be involved with him on that measure, because having a young guy come into your area and actively, like, think about this. Think about politics and the way you understand how politics works. It's something that is on your radio and on your television, but I bet for the majority of you, that's as close as you get to actually touching it. And in 2020, and it's not just the presidential race, but especially the presidential race, if it only ever extends to your television or your radio, and we love having you here, is that as much as you can do? Can you get involved in a way, not even with just making a donation, but actually putting your feet to the pavement and taking a step and making an effort to communicate why you support this president? You cannot be afraid to support somebody and be unwilling to speak out about it and then be surprised in December of 2020 if your guy didn't win. Because somebody who you're close to, you couldn't have a rational conversation with them. We don't have rational conversations anymore, which is the most important thing to do. And as long as we as supporters of conservative ideas and policies, wherever that puts you on the Trump spectrum, as somebody who wants to advocate for conservatism moving forward, for a constitutional approach to nominating Supreme Court justices, you have to support this president in the next election. And you have to be willing to defend that decision to people who are willing to listen to you and willing to have that conversation. And I know everybody knows people who will be willing and those who are just a lost cause because you want to maintain your relationships. You don't want to lose relationships because of politics. I understand that. But we have to be confident. We have to be willing to talk about it. 314-241-9797. Wayne, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, Annie.
Hi, Wayne.
I love what you do. And I was just calling. I was happy to hear your last three callers supporting the efforts of Mr. Trump, our president. You know, in a good way, because I mean, they realize what he's doing, and they're speaking out about it. I love that, and mm-hmm. I just hope you get more. I hope you get more calls like that.
Thank you, Wayne.
That's great.
I appreciate that. He's talking about, I think, the Monique, Antoine, and Shamika clips that I just played before the last break, and these are Black Americans who in some respect either support the president or are not buying into the spoon-fed idea that the president is inherently a racist person. They don't see it, and they do see through a lot of the Democratic approach to blanket statement Republicans and Donald Trump are racist. I mean, isn't it tiring? I'll ask you this, Tony. Like, don't you feel like when everything's racist, then nothing is racist anymore?
Yeah, it takes all the power away from those accusations. It's very similar to the Me Too movement when it sort of reached its peak. At the beginning, when somebody was labeled by that movement as being somebody who was sexually assaulting people or had, you know, engaged in some type of sexual misconduct, it was a really bad thing, and it really had a lot of teeth, and it hurt the people that were accused, and a lot of them rightfully so. But then, as it just more and more got, you know, applied to more and more people, and we saw some false allegations, and we've said it a million times, the worst thing that you can do for your cause is support some sort of false allegation, because that does twice as much damage to your cause than when you're actually proving your point with these other things. So when you just start labeling everybody you can racist, or every action that you can as being racially motivated, I saw somebody this weekend, I think it was on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, who said, if you, in the current political climate, if you criticize a minority or a female for anything, just on policy, if I were to say I don't agree with Annie's stance on the southern border, it would be construed by some to be a sexist statement because I don't agree with you because you are a woman. And it's just like, if you
which,
don't agree
which
with,
debilitates my yes. ability to as a woman to have an equally respected and debated opinion.
Exactly.
Which is, does that counterintuitive?
And it takes away your opportunity to critically think. Mm-hmm. Now you have to think about what everyone else is thinking all the time. You completely take away the option and the opportunity to think for yourself.
I still hug dudes.
That's where that came from.
Not going to stop hugging dudes.
I mean, the Me Too movement has made it so that Tony, who's a nice guy, he's not going to be hugging any females because the risk is too high.
Happened to me today. I saw a former coworker in the building today who no longer is here and has moved on to greener pastures, as they say.
Female?
Yes.
Did you punch her in the face?
No, but she was in the building.
Don't touch
and
me.
I could tell, and it would have been a situation where you would see somebody you haven't seen in a long time, then you would give him a hug. I waited until she was hugging me before I reciprocated the hug.
Set his arm straight out.
Whereas normally I would have kind of went in, you know, mutually at the same time for a hug, but I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
She came and hugged me, and then I, you know, I'm not going to say no. I only hug dudes.
No, thank you.
But I was not going to initiate or even put out there at all that I was looking for a hug until she made the first move.
Is it the Louisiana governor candidate? Who was it that's not getting in a car with a female?
Mississippi,
Mississippi?
I think. Yeah.
So that's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And does that further women in the workplace to now have to be limited? No. But we are now at a place where accusations can be made, and if there are no witnesses to, then it's his word versus her word. And Hillary Clinton, when she was campaigning for the presidency, said we need to believe women. No, we need to believe the truth. Truth needs to matter here, not just political points that you're going to get by championing people who are constantly using the plight of others. If we get tired of talking about racism, does that mean that racists are going to stop being racists? No.
No.
We're just giving them cover because you're making it, making the society so tired of talking about this because you've watered down the idea that real racism exists and real racism is hurting people in our country right now, but we can't talk about it the way we need to talk about it because everybody's a racist. There are people in office, running for office, with shows with their names on the shows who are out there right now saying that if you support President Trump, you are a racist. Period. There's nothing else that you have to do in your life to qualify to be a racist other than to support this president. And I do support him. And I am not a racist individual. Full stop. That's where we are right now. And meanwhile, while that is taking place on a daily basis, you are providing cover for people who are really racist a-holes to do their racist a-holery.
And cue in Erica Thomas, the Georgia state legislator.
Oh, my gosh.
Is Donald Trump really a racist? No, I can't say that he is.
I just love it. That's Monique. We could talk a little bit about Erica Thomas when we come back. I also have some people holding on the line. Stay right there. If you want to join us, 314-241-9797. And we can maybe squeeze in an apocalypse story here, one or two, before we turn it over to the Dave Glover folks. We've had Jeannie Ives on today. That's up at 971talk.com/Annie. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Just declaring it.
Yes.
Make it so.
Mm-hmm.
As
it will happen.
Somebody said once famously. Jeannie Ives at 1240 earlier today. Great to talk to her to hear about her new endeavor. She's running for Congress, and we had her on here right away when we heard that announcement. So if you want to check out that, go to 971talk.com/Annie to hear the replay, or make sure you subscribe to the podcast. More phone calls when we come back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Annie Price Show. Happy Monday. Monday's almost over for me. Is it almost over for you? Monday's never over. Every day
Monday's
sometimes
long.
Feel like mother. Like every day feels like Monday sometimes when you've got kids.
It's just a long, hard day, no matter what.
Yeah. My family, my son's baseball team has tryouts tonight. They're 9.
Are you stressed?
I don't want to know anything about it. No.
It's
my husband's the coach. He's not going to get cut. unless some of the other kids are really great, then you know what? Sorry, Charlie. Just kidding. I don't know that anyone's getting cut, but it's like the less I know about that, the better.
Mm-hmm.
I am not cut out. I understand crazy parents of kids in youth sports, but I understand it enough from enough angles that I know that even every compulsion that I have in my body, it needs to stay inside of me and not become anybody else's problems, predominantly my child's problem. Because at the end of the day, all of the crusading that these parents can do
often ends up hurting their kid the most.
Yep.
And I can imagine. It's tragic. So I just mind my own business. I'm probably going to have to like go get a pedicure tonight to
drink a little bit of whiskey.
Hey, where I go, they give you wine with the pedicure. So 314-241-9797. I want to get to some of these phone calls before we do a sign of the apocalypse or two. Bill, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Annie, second time calling. I love your show.
Thank you, Bill.
You know what? I wanted to the topic is very interesting, and it may be for another show, but I wanted to just say something I never hear. I'm a father of an autistic child.
Okay.
Total blessing. If it's true what we're hearing about autism and other things, we have an epidemic in the country about autism. Why is nobody worried about that? You have a lot of it's non-discriminatory. It's in rural areas and things like that. Why are we worrying about paying and having all this money and all these perks for illegals? We are not taking care of these kids.
Oh, so many different areas, Bill, that you could compare that to. And that certainly is a near and dear one to your heart. And I totally understand when you say it's a blessing. I have some dear friends of mine who have children who have some special needs. And until that happens to you, you just don't understand what is there and what isn't there. And
right.
when you listen to the complaints of people who are trying to come into this country and the demands, and you understand how underfunded many of those necessities are on our home front, it just becomes a big mystery to me. As well.
And Annie, lastly, just want to say, and in fact, the states where it's most prevalent, like 1 in 88 or 1 in 6, are the two most liberal bastions in the country, California and New York. Mm. I don't understand how they can keep voting in people who do not care about their constituents or what's going on in their own states. It's amazing.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for the call continued efforts I support for you trying to get funding to help those types of situations, because a blessing is absolutely correct. And I can say that from personal experience with some dear friends of mine. It is a true blessing, and we do need to support those who need the help. Absolutely. Matt, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, Annie.
Hi, Matt.
First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
Well, maybe not that long. I'm only 19, but
every minute you want to listen to this show, we are very grateful for. Appreciate you calling in.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure. Turn on the radio at noon.
love it.
So I just wanted to say, you had a caller, or you were talking about somebody earlier, somebody going around and talking like college campuses and stuff. So I just finished my first year at the University of Kansas, which kind of has a reputation as pretty much being the most liberal school in the Midwest.
Mm.
At least from what I've heard. And I just wanted to say, like, even in a place like that, in a town like Lawrence, which is extremely liberal, there's plenty of conservatives there. You know, I have a lot of friends there, and they all pretty much happen to be conservatives, and I became friends with them before I knew they were conservative. Like,
wow.
There's people everywhere, and I feel like that guy was going around to college campuses. I feel like even in a place like KU, there are enough, you know, conservatives, like-minded people like us who would go and support that person, hear what they have to say. Granted, I guarantee there'd be a lot of uproar if, you know, somebody,
sure,
a big name like Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, all those guys. But, no, like, there's definitely people even in the places you think there aren't.
Matt, you're 19, you're a student at Kansas University, and you say you have a lot of friends who happen to be conservative as well. What issues are important to you and to those friends who have those conservative leanings?
I mean, the biggest thing, I don't know, it's hard to say, because a lot of it isn't super relevant to us yet. Like, we don't have big paychecks or anything coming in yet. At least on campus, like, abortion is a big one with teenage pregnancies and stuff like that. Free college, a lot of people want that. Sounds nice. I wouldn't mind it right about now, but yeah, pretty kind of those two things are big ones around campus.
Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on with us. Make sure you tell your friends about our show and our podcast, because we need to connect with as many of you as we can, and we are so very grateful that you're out there listening to us at noon. We really do appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really cool to be able to have a 19-year-old call in and say it's we do exist. I mean, I guess I'm saying it all the time. Like, I'm a female who supports this president. I don't co-sign everything he does. He also doesn't ask me if I care. Like, is Annie, you think this would be a good idea? That hasn't happened yet. But, you know.
You never know.
Enough of you.
You never know.
Tweet at the president and tell him to come on my show. Katie is always like, we've got, and I'm like, Donald Trump on the show? Nope, not today.
Nope.
Still working on that one.
Still trying to get in contact with DT.
Steve, I wanted to get to your phone call real quick. Thanks for giving us a call.
DT.
Hey, Ann. Hey, with the driving thing.
Yeah.
I can come up with statistical facts to back up what I'm going to say. Missouri and Illinois. I know I have no stake in the game because I'm not from either.
Okay.
Missouri is by far the worst.
Really?
And the facts that I have to back this up is the DOT, the Department of Transportation. It is harder to get a CDL license in the state of Missouri than any other state in the country. And the hardest place in the state of Missouri to get a CDL license is St. Louis.
That's primarily
because the people on the road don't know how to drive. Now, can I say something real fast?
Yeah, hurry.
You were talking about the racism and stuff like that. There's two things. They're only words as far as this goes. There's racism, and then there's idiots. If a person is a racist, they can choose to not be. If a person is saying a person is a racist that's not based on fact, they are an idiot, and they can't change that.
Interesting. Steve, thank you for the phone call. Regarding drivers, I have a tweet that I'm going to stand by. I co-sign this from John on Twitter. I'm a trucker and think we all suck equally as drivers, which is probably just the truth for sure. Real quick, Richard, want to get to your phone call before we go to the apocalypse. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Annie.
Hi, Richard.
I want to congratulate you on your earlier award that you won.
Oh, thank you.
Tim Jones told me you had won that back in the spring.
Yeah.
I also think that your ladies who tweeted you are to be commended for their intelligence and for their just openness to come out and say what they did.
Yeah.
Also, I think Cory Booker is just stupid. And I told your screener, I said, if you or if I or any other person was in any position who put up with and who was just lambasted daily and nightly by the media and by your people that you worked with,
yeah,
you would strike out just like Donald Trump did.
Richard, thank you so much for making that point. I do believe he's a guy who punches back, and he is taking swings all the time coming at him, and he throws them right back. So, Richard, great to
now call. Signs of the apocalypse on the Annie Fry Show.
Got anything good?
I don't know if this is a sign of the apocalypse, but have we talked about the Cats trailer at all?
We did last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's
you weren't
it's
here.
A sign of the apocalypse for show.
Katie was not
it's
impressed.
It's bad.
It is.
Weird.
Right?
I think
I saw it for the first time over the weekend because I don't really care. I don't. Have you guys ever seen the play?
I haven't seen the play.
I know the song Memory.
But I have seen photographs and things of that nature.
Like, is it just weird because I'm not familiar with how it's, like, is it in character? Is it like right for the piece?
Katie was not digging it last week.
Is it even weirder than people like that?
Neither was Rob.
The actual, yeah, I do remember Rob talking about it.
It's just
a week.
Bad. I think it's bad to have the actors' faces on a CGI cat body. That's weird.
I don't know. Sounds like a great idea when you explain it that way. I don't know what could be wrong with that.
Well, I saw the trailer for the first time, and
but
that
the cat
is...
bodies are not even cat bodies; they're human cat bodies.
Correct.
Right.
So. It's a just the combination does not fit.
I don't think we need to storm Area 51. See the millions.
Right. Well, maybe not the apocalypse, but it's weird.
If that shows up at your house,
I'm gonna say
you will know that it is
weird.
An official sign of the apocalypse. Exactly.
Another story that broke at the end of last week that I don't think we got a chance to talk about. Maybe we did, and I'm repeating another one. But the city of Berkeley trying to.
Well, look who just caught up.
Right. Has officially dropped gendered language from its city codes. Berkeley, California. In an effort to be more inclusive, the Berkeley City Council adopted an ordinance last week to replace gendered language in the city's municipal code with neutral terms. For example, personal pronouns like he, she, her, him will all turn to they and them.
Oh.
Firemen and firewomen will all become firefighters. Manpower will be changed to human effort.
No, it will not. Nobody's saying human effort.
A manhole will
now
be called...
Sometimes you need a woman to make sure you get the right amount of manpower, and there's nothing wrong with saying that.
A manhole will be now called a maintenance hole.
Man.
And, yeah, there's a whole lot of other... You can't say brother or sister anymore. You have to say sibling. You can't say heirs.
Really,
I don't know why you can't say heir. You have to turn that into family. Or no, beneficiaries, excuse me. Heirs get turned into I didn't know heirs was a gender specific.
Stupid. Stupid.
Repairman?
Sheep, you're they.
Repairman is a repairer.
That's too hard to say, too. Repairer. No. Is this California? Take
sportsmen
notes, Illinois. This is what's next.
Sportsmen are hunters.
Sportsmen are now hunters?
Hunters, yes.
Oh, good grief. Dave Glover, for some sanity in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.